Good morning, guys. It's really good to be back here with you and to have my notes typed in large print today so that I can read them clearly. So, if you haven't already noticed, this is Student Government Chapel for 2007-2008, and it's being led by your executive committee for the year. And I can't tell you what an honor it is to serve with guys and girls who are not just leaders in the meeting room, but who I see as spiritual leaders on campus. And every year, the incoming executive committee selects a theme and a verse for the upcoming year. This year, it falls to me to introduce the theme for this year's Asbury College Student Congress, which is Seek the Kingdom, a theme which we drew from a verse in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:10. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. And I'd planned to come up here and talk about this verse and theme and introduce it to you all and, prepare something intellectual, give the grounding for why we picked it. But all week, no words seemed to come to me as I was planning. It was like trying to wring water out of a dry sponge, if you've ever done that. God was reminding me of a basic but essential truth. I've been wearing myself out trying to seek God's kingdom. But in my haste, I'd forgot to spend time seeking the King, Jesus Christ, every single day. Now, this might seem elementary, but I think I'm not the only one who, in a desire to do God's will, forgot it was still God's and not my own will. Now, we on the EC are not saying that we're the only ones seeking God's kingdom on campus. That's far from the truth. If I've learned one thing about my faith from living abroad and all my travels, is that God's kingdom is being sought at all times in all places, if only we have the eyes to see it. We at Asbury, though, are so adept at recognizing our brothers and sisters seeking God in the world beyond our walls that we occasionally forget to recognize those who seek his kingdom right here in our own hallways and classrooms. We as an EC have decided to make seeking God's kingdom the centerpiece of everything we do this year. We hope every single action, every single event, from movie nights to committee meetings, is rooted in a desire to see God's kingdom unfold across this campus and the globe. In a minute, Dan's going to speak on what God's been teaching him this summer as he's really dove into this subject. But if I could leave you with anything, it's just a friendly reminder from one who's had to learn it over and over and over. To seek the kingdom, you have to first seek the King. And when you find him, you'll find the kingdom. Dan Baer, our Vice President for Spiritual Life, is now going to come and share a little bit with us.
Thanks, Zach. Thank you all. Thank you very much. That was more exuberant than I had expected. I just, first of all, want to say that it's quite an honor and quite a privilege to be here up at this podium, something that is beyond myself, but only by God's hand is it possible. And I also want to say, for all those who are listening right now, like my mother and my father, I love you. I miss you. I hope you guys are actually hearing this live back in Ohio. If not, I'll bring you a tape. See you guys soon. I also feel like I need to apologize almost because we've had a great start to our chapel season, haven't we? I mean, seriously, yeah. Yeah. We had the president of the college, Dr. Gray, speak to us. I mean, that's a good way to kick off the year. And then we had Stu Smith, the chaplain of the college, speak to us. I mean, it's hard to beat that. And then you've got me. Just not seeing that logical progression there. I don't know, but I do have two things that that Stu doesn't have. One of those being hair. Yeah, I like it. It's good. I know, Stu, you're jealous, I know. And the other thing I have that Stu doesn't have is that I'm one of you. I'm a student. That's it. Today is not about positions or titles. It's about me having an opportunity to share my heart with you. And that's it. This is not me preaching. This is not me giving a sermon. This is me sharing the things that God has done for me in hopes that he will do the same thing for you, if you're open to it. So let's begin by looking at a passage most of us are at least vaguely familiar with, and others, frankly, are to the point of sheer exhaustion with, that being Matthew 6, starting in verse 25 through verse 34. Let me set the scene for all of you. Dustin opened us up with the Lord's Prayer, which is right smack dab in the middle of what's now called the Sermon on the Mount. We're drawing near the end now, and Jesus is talking to his disciples as well as quite a large crowd, and he shares this. Hear this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was clothed like one of these. Oh, you of little faith. So don't worry saying, what should we drink, or what should we eat, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is some significant stuff here, guys. And I want to start by asking you a few questions. How much do you guys plan? Do we have any planners out here? Yeah, okay. How much do you strategize or scheme about your future? Do we have a few of those? Good, good. Do we strive at all for dreams, for goals concerning your life, a family, a job, grades, relationships, money, anything and everything else? Any of those big for any of you guys? Okay. You guys are like, oh, I don't know, me, maybe. I know I do. I do. I have so many dreams. In fact, I found out this summer something God really laid on my heart, that right behind my passion to do what he has for me, I want nothing more than to have a family. I just want a loving wife, brilliant kids, a big backyard. You know what I'm talking about. Anybody else have that passion? Come on, yeah, see? It's real. How many of you guys have action plans? Come on, business majors, Christian ministries, yeah, business plans. I got those, I got them. The goals to say, I want to be here in this many years, and I want to be that in this many years, and I want to have this job in this many years. Let's make it more personal. I got to take these classes this semester, and then next summer I got to have this internship, and then I got to be in this position senior year so that I can get this job, and I can pay off loans, and I can pay off my wedding, and before you know it, you're in the Oregon. Seriously, guys, here's a good one. How many of you are striving, I mean yearning right now, to get the grades to keep scholarships? I am. Yeah. Uh-huh. You see that, professors? We are working hard. How many of us are trying our darnest to get that significant someone in our life? Putting ourselves out there on the market or looking for a date on Friday nights, hoping we'll fulfill some sort of hole in our heart or need that we have. What I'm trying to get at here, guys, is that we have so very many things in our life right now that are begging for our attention, dragging us into cycles of striving and aching, yearning, working with all our might, trying to make our wildest dreams come true. We're in a culture that tells you that you can have, you can be, you can become, etc., anything you want, if you work hard enough and you want it hard enough. Our individualistic culture teaches us to strive for goals, to set action plans and work fervently for them, to give everything we have to be secure, loved, at peace, content, happy. The list goes on and on. I want to ask you this. How many of you have fallen short at one point in attaining those dreams you've had? I have, many times. Probably too many to count. And I'll tell you why. But first, let me give you an example from my life that I think some of you can relate to that will sort of set the stage for what I'm going to say here in a second. 2 days before I came to be a freshman here at Asbury for orientation, I got a call from my longtime girlfriend at the time, Chelsea. Chelsea and I had been dating for 3 years. We both decided to go to Asbury, which we both thought, marriage, haha. But this phone call totally rocked my world. See, she had told me during this phone call that her family had decided to move to Pennsylvania and that she was going to transfer to Messiah College, which was near her new home. Frankly, I was angry that she had decided to tell me this just 2 days before freshman orientation, and I proceeded to ask her a bunch of questions to which she gave me some half-hearted answers. But the thing that hurt the most is what she said next. She said, "Dan, I don't think we can do this relationship anymore." And she hung up the phone. That hit me so hard. Why? Because I was doing all of this. I was striving, I was yearning to find peace and love and fulfillment in Chelsea. That when she was ripped away from me, all of that was ripped away from me too. And so I came to Asbury, and what was my first thing that I did? Set some new action plans. Started asking girls out. Let me tell you this. From the point that I started dating Chelsea all the way back to my birth, I had asked 3 girls out, one of those being Chelsea. That leaves 2. I'm not the most outgoing guy in the world when it comes to that. From the time I started my freshman year to the time I left for the summer after my freshman year, I asked 10 girls out. Hey, that could be a good thing. It could be. But it wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. Because you see, I was trying to fill those voids in my heart with things that the world told me mattered. And why did I fall short? You see, because my desire to have someone to love and to love someone had become so twisted by my own striving and yearning that in the end, I fell short of what I most desired. And I fell hard. It's not the only time in my life that I've made my own plans or set my own agendas and never attained the dreams that I had for myself. And let me tell you why. You see, because in this world we have a tendency to want the best, the biggest, the brightest, the newest, the coolest of everything. And that's what our culture puts in our faces every day. We're told so very often that we can have the perfect relationship, the perfect body, the perfect job, the perfect families, and so on. There's nothing inherently wrong about those things, but there is something wrong about the way in which we strive for those things. Because we are fallen creatures, we can no longer attain the level of perfection our hearts and our minds desire on our own. It just isn't possible by the abilities and the gifts that we have. It just doesn't happen. You see, there has to be something more than us. Something greater than us, that reaches higher than us, to get the dreams that we have. And we can only find that in God Himself. Jesus is talking about this. That passage I read to you, that's all about this. What He's saying when He elaborates about food and clothing and drink, Jesus understands the yearnings of our heart toward the dreams and the desires we have for ourselves. And He makes us even look foolish for thinking otherwise by talking about simple things like food and clothing. See, God understands our needs. He understands our wants. He even understands our desires. And this is where Satan comes in. See, he's going to tell us we know how to best go about getting the things we want. We know where, we know when, we know how. He tells us that God doesn't want the same things that we want. That God wants to turn us into passionless robots who do nothing exciting or worth talking about in this life. But my friends, he's wrong. He's so very wrong. Jesus says it himself. God knows what you need, and He wants to give it to you. Wake up, friends. We need to wake up from this dead sleep that we're in and understand that God isn't about punishment. He isn't about rights and wrongs. He isn't about dry religion. God isn't about dead people anymore. He's about vibrant, live, and awakened people who strive after the right things in the right ways. God is so very much more than Bible studies or prayer meetings or chapel services. Those are good things, but God is about so much more than that. God is about blessings. Blessings, my friends. God is about love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, self-control. My friends, the fruits of the Spirit are not a checklist of spiritual disciplines. They are a vibrant, extravagant gifts to people who desire, more than anything, what God desires. God is willing to give you the very same things you're striving for. We're just looking for them in the wrong ways and the wrong places. Only by God's hand can we reach the goals and desires and the dreams of our hearts. And why, you may ask? Because He put them there. God is our Creator. Of course He did that. He knows us better than He knows than we know ourselves. And He's faithful. My friends, your striving and working isn't enough. But God is. So how do we attain these things you're asking? You're probably saying, yeah, okay, Dan, whatever. I don't see them in my life. I'm a Christian. Where's all this stuff you're talking about? This is where it gets good, my friends. It's all about faith. Faith. Believing God wants to give you the desires of your heart is the key to understanding how much that statement is true. Jesus talks about this too. He calls us to faith in God, a commitment to His kingdom and His righteousness. He calls us to a place where striving ceases. And faith is our strength, our action plan, if you will. Jesus is calling us a place of abandonment of our own abilities, strategies, and plans. God is asking us to trust Him. He knows the plan He has for us. Jeremiah says it so well. Plans to prosper us, not to harm us. Plans to give us a hope and a future. Those are not empty words, my friends. They are living proof of the desire God has for us to be blessed. Abandonment really isn't abandonment in the end, now is it? God is calling us to leave these false images of the blessings He has for us and run to the real and deep source of all we need. The world tells us that we can find love in sex, in girlfriends or boyfriends, in passionate pursuits of earthly things. But God tells us that He desires nothing more than to fill us with true love. Love overflowing, vibrant, life-changing love. And in turn, give us a love that can reach out to others in a selfless way and change lives in the same way we have been changed. The world tells us that we can find fulfillment in possessions, cars, clothes, shoes. We can find it in houses or jobs or money. The list goes on and on. But God tells us that the only true fulfillment we will find is when we seek after His kingdom and come to find that we were created for Him, made to do what He has for us, and purposed for His loving, His care, and His support. I really could go on and on for much too long, but time is running a bit short. Before I end, I'm going to ask the band to come back up. They're going to lead us in a few more songs of worship. Still, it's pertinent for me to ask you just a few more questions. What are you striving for? What do you want most? What do you find yourself dreaming about at night? Waking to a realization that your life has so many holes you just can't fill. Then ask yourself, if you're worrying about these things, putting all you have into them, and hoping with blind luck that somehow things work out in the end. Life was not meant to be that way. I'm learning this more and more. Even now I'm convicting my own heart of it. This is our time. A time to come to a place of faith where we realize our yearning isn't enough and our striving and strategizing has fallen short. Time to come to a place in faith and the deep desire, the overwhelming, awesome ability of God to meet us where we are and bless us with the faith to know He will work out our dreams to fruition in His time alone. Now is our time to put away fears, worries, and doubts, to come to a place where we finally see the blessings of God taking hold in our lives and never turning back. These next few minutes are for us. This prayer altar is open. If you feel that God is speaking to you this morning, if this has rung true at any point in your life, if you want love, you can get it. Just come to this altar. Let's make commitments now to seek the kingdom and allow God to take care of the rest. I promise you, my friends, we won't be disappointed. In fact, I have faith we'll be amazingly surprised. Blessings, my friends.